Radio News Corps reports. The Electronic Privacy Information Center, EPIC, informs that members of Congress are calling for laws in the United States that would compel internet service providers and telecom companies to store information about their customers for months or years, and to make those records available to the police upon request. Supporters of a data retention law include Representative Ed Whitfield, Republican of Kentucky, and Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez recently stated that retaining records of internet users would help fight crime, especially online crimes involving child pornography. The data at stake includes information as sensitive as mobile phone location data, email headers, e-commerce website transactional data, and web browsing or chat room activities. This information normally gets discarded if it is not useful to companies for billing, marketing, network monitoring, or fraud prevention purposes. Some of that deleted data, law enforcement is now claiming, could be useful to solve criminal cases. In the United States, law enforcement can currently subpoena internet providers and phone companies to keep records on specific suspects for a renewable period of 90 days. The system is called data preservation. A few other countries, however, have chosen a data retention system where companies have to store the data of all customers for months or years. For example, the European Union adopted a data retention directive that requires all of its member states to enact data retention laws. The implementation of this directive is facing stiff resistance in several member states, and the data protection officials within the EU's Article 29 Working Party on Data Protection have criticized the directive as lacking adequate safeguards for privacy. To date, law enforcement has not been able to show that retaining all users' data helps solve criminal cases. Traffic data is seldom essential in criminal investigations, and data retained for longer than six months is rarely useful. Retaining all customer data could also raise serious security and privacy concerns. The huge data warehouses created by such laws would provide tempting targets for hackers and identity thieves. Criminals could easily evade data retention rules by using anonymous online access or prepaid mobile phones, leaving law-abiding internet and phone users with the prospect of permanent and highly invasive surveillance. On March 25, 2006, Article 29 Data Protection adopted an opinion on the Mandatory Data Retention Directive, which was adopted by the EU on February 21, 2006. This working party was set up under Article 29 of Directive 9546-EC. It is an independent European advisory body on the data protection and privacy. Its tasks are described in Article 30 of Directive 9546-EC and Article 15 of Directive 2002-58-EC. The Secretary is provided by Directorate C of the European Commission, Directorate General Justice, Freedom, and Security. In its March 25, 2006 opinion, the Working Party states the following. On February 21, 2006, the Council adopted a directive on the retention of data processed in connection with the provision of public electronic communication services and amending a 2002 directive. The European Parliament had approved the Commission proposal as amended during the negotiations with the Council, and accordingly, adopted a legislative resolution on December 14, 2005. In its last opinion of October 21, 2005, on the then-draft directive, the Article 29 Working Group had voiced its reservations since the provisions of the directive will have far-reaching consequences for all European citizens and their privacy. The decision to retain communication data for the purpose of combating serious crime is an unprecedented one with a historical dimension. It encroaches into the daily life of every citizen and may endanger the fundamental values and freedom all European citizens enjoy and cherish. The Working Party recalls the considerations and concerns set out in the aforementioned opinion, which retain their validity. It is, therefore, of utmost importance that the directive is accompanied and implemented in each member state by measures curtailing the impact on privacy. The Article 29 Working Group notes that the directive lacks some adequate and specific safeguards as to the treatment of communication data and leaves room for diverging interpretation and implementation by the member states in this respect. However, adequate and specific safeguards are necessary to protect the vital interests of the individual, as mentioned in Directive 2002-58-EC, in particular, the right to confidentiality when using publicly available electronic communication services. The Working Party considers it is also crucial that the provisions of the directive are interpreted and implemented in a harmonized way to ensure that the European citizens can enjoy throughout the European Union the same level of protection. Therefore, the Article 29 Working Party proposes a uniform, European-wide implementation of the directive. This approach should guarantee a harmonized application of the provisions of the directive whilst respecting the highest level possible of protecting personal data. This should also be done with a view to reducing the considerable costs to be borne by the service providers when complying with the provisions of the directive. In order to transpose the provisions of the directive in a uniform way and to comply with the requirements of Article 8 of the European Convention on Human Rights, member states should implement adequate and specific safeguards. At least the following safeguards should be taken into account. 1. Purpose specification. The data should only be retained for specific purposes. Therefore, the term serious crime should be clearly defined and delineated. Any further processing should be ruled out or limited stringently on the basis of specific safeguards. 2. Access limitation. The data should only be available to specifically designated law enforcement authorities where necessary for the investigation, detection, and prosecution of the offenses referred to in the directive. A list of such designated law enforcement authorities should be made public. Any retrieval of the data should be recorded, and the records should be made available to the supervisory authorities in order to ensure an effective supervision. 3. Data minimization. The data to be retained should be kept to a minimum, and any changes to that list should be subject to a strict necessity test. 4. No data mining. Investigation, detection, and prosecution of the offenses referred to in the directive should not entail large-scale data mining based on retained data in respect of the travel and communication patterns of the people unsuspected by law enforcement authorities. 5. Judicial or independent scrutiny of authorized access. Access to data should, in principle, be duly authorized on a case-by-case basis by judicial authorities without prejudice to countries where a specific possibility of access is authorized by law, subject to independent oversight. Where appropriate, authorization should specify the particular data required for the specific case at hand. 6. Retention purposes of providers. Providers of public electronic communication services or networks are not allowed to process data retained solely for public order purposes under the Data Retention Directive for other purposes, especially their own. 7. System separation. In particular, the systems for storage of data for public order purposes should be logically separated from the systems used for business purposes. 8. Security measures. Minimum standards should be defined concerning the technical and organizational security measures to be taken by providers, specifying more in detail the general requirements of the Directive on Data Retention. The Article 29 Working Party calls on the member states to coordinate the implementation of the Data Retention Directive into national laws in order to guarantee a harmonized approach across the European Union and to uphold the high standards of data protection provided by both Directives 9546-EC and 2002-58-EC. This opinion has been issued at Brussels on March 25, 2006, and it is signed by the chairman of the Working Party, Peter Schaar. On September 15, 2004, EPIC and the Yale Internet Society Project submitted their comments on traffic data retention to the European Commission. They did so with the purpose of describing the privacy retention policies within the United States, in comparison to those of the proposed European one. According to EPIC and the Yale Internet Society Project, no single law directly regulates data retention policies within the United States. Instead, data retention of personal information is strictly permitted as a negative right within the limits of the Fourth Amendment that grants the rights of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures. In order to interpret the scope of data collection, use, and retention, there are numerous distinctions concerning both the type and purpose and of use of any particular data retained. To begin with, retainable data can belong to one of two categories of personal information. First, there is contents, within its meaning at 18 U.S.C. sections 2510(8) and 2703(c)(1) in the Electronic Communications Privacy Act, or ECPA. The contents of a communication are the actual files stored in the account. Second is non-content, personal information, which is largely divided into two basic types. Firstly, data that is directly collected and is retainable from users, registration and transactional data, for example. Registration data is requested from users whenever they log in to access parts on a website. In reference to Section 2703(c)(2) at ECPA, registration data can be seen as basic subscriber information, and thus include the following categories of data: A, name; B, address; C, local and long-distance telephone connection records, or records of session times and durations; D, length of service, including start date, and types of service utilized; E, telephone or instrument number, or other subscriber number or identity, including any temporarily assigned network address; and F, means and source of payments for such service, including any credit card or bank account number. In general, the items in this list recount the identity of a subscriber, but for ECPA's purposes, also her association with her network service provider as an internet service provider, and her basic session connection records. The Patriot Act enhanced the categories of basic subscriber information in three respects. It added, quote, records of session times and durations, end quote, as well as, quote, any temporarily assigned network address, end quote, to Section 2703(c)(2). Lastly, the, quote, means and source of payment, end quote, that a customer uses to pay for an account, including any credit card or bank number information. In addition, data that is directly collected and is retainable is transactional data. It is gleaned by websites and ISPs engaging in businesses with the users, such as selling merchandise or services. In reference to Section 2703(c)(1) in ECPA, transactional data relates to a record or other information pertaining to a subscriber or to a customer of such service, not including the contents of communications. The broad definition of this category seems to comprise all records that are not contents, including basic subscriber information. Secondly, data can be indirectly collected and retained by tracking the way people navigate through the internet. It enables the website to calculate how many times it has been visited and what parts are the most popular. It may be seen to include also information revealed by uniquely distinguishing features of a user's computer, such as the unique serial numbers contained in Intel's Pentium 3 chips. Next to the distinction between types of retainable data, American law supports also a distinction between separate categories of data usages. Namely, data is retained for business purposes, governmental purposes, or data that has been disclosed to third parties. Both types of consideration imply a matrix of legal concerns that American privacy laws adhere to. No United States court has decided the constitutionality of government-mandated archiving, or otherwise rights of data retention and or accessing archived data held by network service providers such as ISPs. Instead, government and ISP relations concerning the policy of data preservation, searching, seizing computers, and obtaining electronic evidence has been embedded by Congress in the Electronic Communications Privacy Act, updating the Wiretap Act of 1968, such as whenever agents or prosecutors seek stored email, account records, or subscriber information from a network service. Specifically, it expanded the coverages of the Wiretap Act by constituting database privacy protection through Title I, addressing the unauthorized interception of computer databases or electronic communication while in transit, and Title II, addressing the unauthorized acquisition of electronic communications while in storage. Overall, with several updates and expansions of the Wiretap Act, the Electronic Communications Privacy Act became the predominant federal law protecting database privacy and electronic communications from unauthorized interception, use, and disclosure in all private network service providers, such as within cyberspace, subject, that is, to exceptions that permit disclosure under strictly defined circumstances. It is imperative to make a distinction between data retention requirements, which would require providers to collect and keep all or a large portion of providers' traffic as routine matter, and preservation requisites within their meaning in the Electronic Communications Privacy Act. The latter are designed to allow law enforcement authorities, during the course of a criminal investigation, to instruct a service provider to put to one side specified data that previously has been in the service provider's possession in anticipation of the law enforcement procures the appropriate documents to require the data's disclosure. The Electronic Communications Privacy Act, thus, is still unclear about many questions concerning the scope of commercial data retention for other than law enforcement purposes. In practice, some providers retain records for months, others for hours, and others not at all. As a result, also, the ability of different ISPs to comply with law enforcement requests for information varies. To minimize the possibility of loss of data, ECPA permits the United States federal government to direct providers to freeze stored records and communications pursuant to 18 U.S.C. Section 2703F1. Because of these differences, agents often will want to correspond with network providers to gain knowledge of how the provider operates before obtaining a legal order that compels the provider to act. When used correctly, these provisions are designed to guarantee that providers will not obliterate needed records or give notice to others about the investigation. As Professor Oren Kerr further explains, ECPA's provision concerning the data preservation well exists on the books, but have little or no effect whatsoever and seem unlikely to ever receive any judicial attention or legislative repeal. The evolution of Section 2703F that replaced Section 2704, which is entitled Backup Preservation, is a good example. Section 2704 is a part of the original 1986 Act and offers an intricate procedure in which the government can order an ISP to make a backup of a communication to preserve the communications. Unfortunately, the section was made for the most part superfluous by the later addition of Section 18 U.S.C. Section 2703F in 2002, which, in the language of a general legal standards, requires ISPs to take all necessary steps to preserve evidence when contacted by law enforcement and informed that a court order for the evidence is being sought. Thus, Section 2703F in ECPA presently does not prescribe a format for requests. Practice, therefore, shows that the usage of a phone, a fax, or email is all valid means of communications. It is typically the case, though, that the latter two are better practice as they provide a paper record and guards against miscommunications. It does indicate, however, the time period for preservation, holding that upon receipt of the government's request, the provider must retain the records for 90 days, renewable for another 90-day period upon a government request. Beyond the concern for preservation of evidence under 18 U.S.C. Section 2703F, ECPA, and for that matter, all privacy-related laws in the United States, do not strike a detailed and expressed balance between the data preservation for investigatory purposes and the right to privacy and retainable personal information on the data subject matter. This information has been provided by the Electronic Privacy Information Center and the Yale Internet Society Project. This program has been produced by Radio News Corps with the collaboration of the Shell Center for International Human Rights at Yale Law School and edited and post-produced at the studios of our European office in Belgium on April 27, 2006. You've been listening to Radio News Corps.